Rav Rosh Hashiva, Rav Horowitz, Torah Views on Israel Independence.
Okay. We know that the celebration of the Day of Independence of the Jewish State in Israel is, question is it a holy day? Or is it a holy day? So we know, question might also be, maybe it's an unholy day. Why? Because if we go back to independence of the Haredim, we belong to the Jews who are called Haredim. So it's good for us to try to get an answer from God Himself, what is revealed in the Bible. What is revealed in the Bible that the Jewish people were chosen to spread to believe in God and His teachings in the whole world. For Jews and Gentiles. For Jews, it began with Abraham Avinu, whose descendants were chosen of his merits to follow the Derech Hashem, the path of God, to do Mishpat Mitzvah, to fulfill the godly command to dedicate one's life to spread belief in Him, and, in fact, when it comes to word halacha, to follow the own tradition from the forefathers until the Jewish people became a nation after the exodus from Egypt on Sinai, where the whole Jewish people who were assembled there at the time, they said, Nazir Lishma, they said, we're going to fulfill this covenant that you made with Almighty to try, through our example, to bring belief in God and His prophets to the knowledge of all the nations of the world, and will ultimately bring the Messianic era. And therefore, if we look at the Declaration of Independence, which depended, if you go back further in history, the beginning of the 19th century and the end of the Second World War, the League of Nations decided to give a mandate to the United Kingdom to transform the Palestine into a Jewish home, hoping it could be arranged in a peaceful manner. And then it continued with the people of Israel trying to fulfill this task. If we look at the prophets, many of whom prophesied that there might be a lot of period of ups and downs for the Jewish people of future, especially after the first experience after the Sinai Declaration, and the Jews at that time, they were ready to fulfill the wish of God, especially as here in the desert, He's looking after us through bread from heaven, other ways, so many miracles. But they nevertheless grumbled And they said, we don't want to go to this promised land. We weren't able to go there right away because shortly after Exodus, we, many of us, refused to go on the short circuit to the land of Israel. As it's described in the Psalms especially, it says that the problem was that the Jewish people did not love this land enough through the promises made, and even through the mixed multitude, so they worshipped. There were still some of them were idolaters and made a golden calf. So because of all these reasons, had it not been for the constant prayers of Moses, to whom God wanted to fulfill the five expressions of redemption mentioned when they went out of Egypt. The first three referring to being redeemed from enslavement, becoming a free nation, a free independent nation. But the fourth one said, it should be for the purpose V'lakachti etchem li la'am, I'm taking you from to be my people. You are not the only people I'm interested in. I'm interested because I'm the father of all the nations. I really have only the creator of the world. I'm also the one who is the father of all mankind, who has created all mankind and looks after them. And therefore, I didn't give up on you. But if you have this backsliding, and this is followed by many other generations in later times, there was a lot of backsliding. People regarding in the times of the Crusaders, so some Jews became rich in their different countries, and they thought that the Galus, the exile, was a good place for Jews to live in. And instead of following the attempt to try and reach the level to merit to the Holy Land, it was just a dream. And this is very important to ask this question: where's the first time we deal here with ourselves, who call ourselves and are called by the word Haredim? Where is that mentioned? It's mentioned in those fantastic descriptions of the future redemption of Isaiah. That is the time when it says, Hashem said, you know, I'm only looking at the Haredim. Haredim, each one also should be modest. They shouldn't be out to make themselves great and pursue power. They've got to be humble. They've got to be filled with belief and even living with the awareness that I'm the master of all the nations. I made you the firstborn son, the firstborn. You have to give a model to the rest of the children, the nations of the world, to keep the seven mitzvot, the seven commandments that they were given, which is really the universal revelation to the whole of mankind by God Himself. So therefore, what actually happened was that the Holy Day has certain unholy aspects. It's very interesting. They did the survey of recent Gedolei Torah, the major leaders of mankind, following the decisions of the great giants of Jewish tradition in times nearer to ourselves, like the Chofetz Chaim and the Chazon Ish, and I was certainly privileged to be able to become disciples to some extent of some of the great mother, the Chofetz Chaim, when you study all these books, you see he was the leader of Agudat Israel, of the youth, of bringing together all Torah-believing schools, parts of the people of Israel, to dedicate their lives to follow their leadership. So, when I was especially close to one of the greatest, also descendant of Yeshua Salanter, who was also one of the pioneers in the principle the Jewish people have to spread themselves in that direction. Even, for example, even sponsored, had something to do with the first translation into German of the Talmud, because his view was that if the nations of the world they'll come to understand a bit more the depth of wisdom which is contained, instead of following German giants of science and philosophy and religion, that they would find far more beauty and far more harmony and things which need harmony if they would study the source of Judaism. Instead of thinking that Berlin is the substitute for Jerusalem, they recognize that there's no substitute for Yerushalayim, for Jerusalem. That has been in our minds and as it is in our prayers. So, in this latest survey, which I'll quote from soon, there's no mention of these unholy aspects. Because this is, but we have to face it. We have to face it while most of the civilized nations of the world, in their declaration of independence, unless they're swamped by communist brainwashing to atheists, but nevertheless, like in America and in Britain, it begins also with thanks to the Almighty God. Whilst in Israel, the question of making a declaration of independence, the leaders of the burgeoning state, they refuse to mention the name of God. Instead of that, they mention Tzu Israel, the Rock of Israel, which could be interpreted as you wished. You could call it the Rock of Israel. You know, to some people, that's said. Well, unfortunately, what it led to getting rocks thrown at us, to Israel, from people who were atheists and agnostics. And they didn't like the Haredim, and they brought their forces sometimes to whenever Haredim had some assembly, they would something in favor observing the Shabbat, which is one of the major commandments of the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments were originally given also to Esau and Ishmael. That means also to the Christians and the Islams. Also, they believe in, many of them believe in the Ten Commandments. So, unfortunately, some rocks were thrown with cars when they drove into Haredi areas. And try to stop the observance of the Shabbat. So the truth is, there were a few courageous Jews who decided that the government, they're going to join the government. After all, they couldn't avoid the need of the state of having to follow certain democratic rulings that you have to also, even as you call the government as a minority, but you have to also give them certain rights. So there were a couple of courageous Jews who became members of the government and then were in agreed to come to some compromise, and it was possible to bring cases were not able to observe the Shabbat in public institutions, public meaning supported by the government as well. And they tried hard to emphasize that we have to make, should really mention the name of God, but until today it hasn't been changed. The Dutch have had no change. The same applies to the national hymn. Most national hymns, like for example, we find both in England and America, even England itself, God Save the Queen, God Save the King. And the same is in the American national hymn. The name of God also is mentioned, even as I heard also more than one president said, we believe in God in my country, but God comes first, my country comes second. Well, here in Israel, where this comes from, where do they get this concept of God from? It comes from the Bible, given by God, we believe in. So it's it's really the same. One of the aspects of making this day, when we have until today managed to do that, and maybe in many religious schools where they sing the Hatikva, they've changed from even this, the concept of the Tikva Teilu, Shlot Abai, that comes from Yecheskel. Yecheskel describes the future redemption of God, who is the hope of Israel. We recognize all mankind, but haven't reached that yet. So they think it's instead of Am-Chofshi, and Chofshi can be translated as free from any high authority, including the authority right above us of the Almighty God. We are Chofshi, they're even called Chofshi, people who say, I don't need to follow God's teachings. So instead of that, they say the Tikva, following Cheskes, Amatolah. That's what we used to do. That's what they did in the religious schools in England. So that can be changed, at least by the Haredim in their own schools. They can do that without problems. So the question arises also, how to celebrate this day. So really, let's put it this way, there are two major views. We know that the Satna view, that's what Jacob described, who regard all these unholy aspects as being a danger to the future of Israel, and they say, let's keep away from it. They used to say it. Nevertheless, I can tell you that in the Satna Rebbe himself, and those who follow him, many of them, of the great people, they say that anyone who is working hard for the increase of Torah amongst Jews who are, especially that are considered Jews who are not yet religious, and work to make them religious, then you have to follow them because they are bringing new Jews back to Judaism, and even the non-Jews, they're bringing them in closer to follow the seven commandments. And therefore, there, you should always give them support. So, perhaps I will go right away to describe my major guide in my life, which was try to reach a higher level of observance and scholarship in the Torah, was raised on the basis of Torah in Derech Eretz. Therefore, my parents insisted I should also have a lot of secular knowledge, especially as I found I was able to go to college and persuade students to come to talks on the deeper values of Judaism. So I was fortunate enough in London to be close to great teachers, disciples. Okay, teachers of my disciples of Radhesa. So Radhesa, who is a descendant of Vishwasalanta, is one of the great followers of the Musa movement. And Vishwasalanta, as I explained before, he also was concerned to get Jews back to recognize the deep wisdom which is contained in every aspect of the Torah. And in London was his disciple, it's called the Ari Carmel, who is a publisher of the teachings given by Radhesa, and didn't himself publish his own teachings in a book, but he made them into 5 volumes of Michta Miliyahu, the message of Radhesa. So I went from London to the biggest yeshiva in Gateshead. Very fortunate. Gateshead was the place where Radhesa, he was the main inspiration there for both the yeshiva and the seminary and the kollel. And he was a great continuation of the way of recognizing the Muslim movement is not really something new. If we go back to the Chumash, it says in the important speech of Moshe Rabbeinu in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses, he describes what's going to happen. He describes it is going to happen that the majority of Jews will leave Judaism. It would have nothing to do with it. They will leave, unfortunately, they will leave the belief in God, most of them, very many of them. And the Almighty is really waiting for them to change, but he also, in his divine providence, gives them opportunities. If the opportunities don't work, he has to also use, Hashem Yasa, he said, just like a father has to chastise his son if he goes the wrong way, so all mankind are my children. They go the wrong way, I can sometimes only teach them a lesson by letting the nations of the world do as they feel. Therefore, from the point of view of the prophets, all the suffering which has come from people of Israel, starting with the suffering when they went out from Egypt, carries on until the Jews will change. Ve'ein Israel nigalim ela b'tshuva. And the Jewish statement of the sage is the only way in which the people of Israel can change is through teshuva. And in the parsha, there's a parsha in the end of Shomayim, which said explicitly, it will come at the end of days that the all those who are nitachim, who cast off, who've taken the way out from Judaism, they would be gathered back to teshuva. Some say it's a mitzvah teshuva, it's a commandment, but more than a commandment, everyone agrees it is a prophecy. And since we find in our time, this prophecy has started to become fulfilled. So I'll give you an illustration of this. When, through the inspiration which came to me, from my Radhesa himself, because I also heard quite a few of his talks, and he would ask him many questions. But then later on, I became very close to my former teacher, and then he became also a partner in starting to work with students in England, of students who come from a non-religious background, made for them courses in summer and winter, so we're able to get many to change their lifestyle and become people who also follow the Haredi path. So in Gaza, they had in the Wolf Yeshiva program, in the Koyla program, is to learn all day. Learn the Gemara all day, try and finish the Talmud, and try and finish the Shulchan Aruch. and go into detail. But already in the early times, all the greatest Gadolim, we go back to the time of Chatam Sofer, goes back a few hundred years. You know from him also that in his yeshiva, if a person came and wanted to learn more about Judaism and he knew nothing, so what did he do? He appointed advanced students to spend a few hours every day to adopt these students, personally or sometimes in small groups. And that was being followed by what they called the Geza of Avodat HaKodesh. In Geza, they called it, that's the holy time, when every advanced student in the top shiur, or top lesson, or anyone from the college, if there was a college there, they had to spend 2 hours every day, not learning for themselves, but Dilmol Almanat Alame, we also pray every day, we give the ability to learn, but we learn in order to teach. V'shimantam v'banecha, this every day means, v'banecha is your children, it's also your talmidim. You've got to teach, and this is halacha, but it's going to become a teacher. He must become a teacher to his parents, he must become a teacher to his siblings, if they're a mother. He must become a teacher to his going to become a teacher to those who don't know it. And this is the principle which is supported, was supported by all the good on him at all times. And this changed the situation a bit. So when I first went to start the yeshiva, for Bali Teshuva, where it became known, there were people already in recent times, even after the time of the spread of communism, which made many Jews into atheists and agnostics. There was even had a own special department for agnostics. And we even had a student in the yeshiva who came by the name of Trotsky. Came to yeshiva and said, "I'm called Trotsky." She said, "Well, I'm Trotsky." So she sent him with him. Trotsky was the major person who started the communist movement for Jews as an organization. As Hans Heim describes, because he knew about him as well, he was actually raised in a cheder, but the cheder was perhaps a strict cheder. He didn't like it. They were too strict with him, and distance too much for him, and also the type of learning didn't appear to him. He couldn't understand many things in the Gemara. So in fact, they threw him out of his cheder. So they threw him out. They said, "We can't take you anymore." So on this basis, Chofetz Chaim writes, in fact, it says, he doesn't allow that to happen anymore. He must make sure that we are in every place, we must make a place, like he himself did in Rabin and the yeshiva, we've got to make a place for people who don't know anything, and who can't cope with it. Mostly we've got to have disciples, take other disciples by the side, and make them learn with them, like that in Geza. And then you can change things. And that was the approach of the Chazon Ish also. Chazon Ish was the other great halachic authority, the highest level, who also people went to for advice. He was a person who had very close to Hashem, a very big saint. And he and his disciples did a great deal. So really the whole question, let's go back to the original question we've got, as follows, that it's for sure we live in a time when there are certain aspects where Hashem has even made different things to happen in the world of the Jewish people, which will bring them back to their background, their traditions, together with the Holy Land. Because so many miracles occurred, which can hardly be understood on the basis of any other experiences in mankind, of which the highest one was after the great miracle in the War of Independence, where it was well known that there are great dangers which all the Jews in Palestine, even more than in any other part of Europe, because the Mufti was a partner with Hitler and Machshanon in trying to destroy all Jews of mankind. He only agreed if Palestine would be part of his program. And therefore, Hitler was forced to send his major army along to go and take over Palestine and unfortunately to attack all the Jews there. But through great prayer, also the great miracle which took place at that time, that the Nazi army was in the Sinai Desert and were going to not start their attack, but Rommel's army, they were very thirsty, they were given special water, not sea water, but unfortunately they didn't know that the water from the sea had a leak and came into the drinking water. And therefore they were all hit with dysentery and were not able to cope anymore. And therefore the Allies army was able to stop that attack and to destroy that part of Rommel's army. It was no longer able to get into Palestine. But the greatest miracle was the Six-Day War. And that's the time that came like a magnet, because we know Jews all over the world, the Six-Day War, when Israel was surrounded by enemies with a strong air force, a strong military, from Egypt, from Jordan, and from Syria, from all directions, and in the deep blue sea. So when they all joined together to get all the Jews to go and sink in the deep blue sea. That was something even mentioned by some of them. So God saved us. So here I'll tell you a story, which maybe you already well known, some of you. The West Point, where they used to train officers in America for the American Army, there are course on how to describe all the military victories which had taken place in mankind, which had been successful. And this lecturer refused to mention Israel. There was one of the officers in training who kept on putting up his hand, trying to stop him. He kept on waving his hand, not listening to him. They came to Marshal Batol and said to him, "Why didn't you mention the miracle of the Six-Day War? Which the Jewish army was able to win the battle, put the shofar at the Western Wall, which you couldn't reach beforehand." So he said to him, "The reason why I couldn't mention it, because it had nothing to do with military victories. It wasn't a military victory. It was a miracle. It was something that has never taken place in the military history which is known from the whole world, from all its generations." And that's how it was regarded by the biggest experts. And also for the Jews, it became the biggest magnet. And that's the time, also, when I decided I was working in England, I decided I must take my yeshiva also to participate. That's how we started the yeshiva. When I started the yeshiva, I also, at that time, I had great leaders. But I'll tell you, what is really the problem? It goes back a little bit. Before, when I first came to Israel and visited as an unmarried man, as a bochor, to learn in yeshiva in Israel, I did go out and see what's going on in Jerusalem. So I went to a parade on the day of independence, day of independence, there was a parade of the army showing all their weapons and had a flag up. What did it say on the flag? Ze hayom asar tzahal tzahal nagila v'nismahako. This is the day which tzahal means tzava kandan Israel, the army that defends Israel. So they changed the pasuk from Tehillim. What did we say Tehillim? Ze hayom asar Hashem. This is the day which Hashem has done. Let us rejoice in it. What does this mean? That they should change the text in such a manner. It means that their manner, their motto is to leave God out of the picture. To think that the Jewish people could exist without God, that mankind could exist without God. And that is so much against the Bible, and so much also against those who regard it like as doctrine laws, as it were, of the Jewish people, that means Islam and Christianity, will also reject them. And then the Muslims will say, well, if the Jews are going to do this to us, it's going to be, we have to fight, so we have to make an army. But what does it say in the Chumash about this? In the book of Deuteronomy, where God says to the people of Israel, He says, if you will see Kochi v'otzem yadi, my power and the strength of my hand, Asani et achay lazeh, He is the one who produced this success, then I tell you, I'd have to reject you. Can't reject the Jewish people. In fact, Hashem, God says this to every person himself. If you think, let's say, in your business, the business that you're doing, you think, oh look, how successful have I been? I've made so much money, now I'm going to try and become the richest person in the world. I'll do anything in order to get a lot of money, become very famous. Or even if you say, I'm so clever that my science or my arts knowledge is going to make me so famous. Person says, I'm doing things for my own pride, for gaiva. So we know the sages said that a person pursues pride, pursues gaiva, he's going to have an exit from the spiritual world. In this world as well, he's no longer following the power of the Spirit. If you keep God out in the picture, then you start saying to yourself, it's similar to taiva. It's a kavod, a kavod. It's three things. There's the taiva, gaiva, kavod, which take a person away from the world of the Spirit. It says, enter to the fathers. So this means, if you follow materialism, in the sense you're going to follow material pleasure, or food, or sex, and other things, that's your aim in life, then you take away yourself from living a spiritual life in this world. The Torah is in favor of us not neglecting the physical world. We have to use the physical world to enjoy it more, but, as we say also in the bracha, we say when the first plants, the flowers, the buds come up in the spring, it's all done. They have not been done, the human beings should have pleasure. God wants Jewish people to have pleasure, but use the pleasure to thank God more, to say a blessing on it. As I said, if you say a blessing, you've got a passport to have all this good food or good other things. But if you don't say a blessing, your change comes from God, you're not fulfilling the spiritual purpose. You've got to accompany the physical enjoyment. The same applies with pride. The same applies with the pursuit of good spiritual money. In all things, we've got to try to feel gratitude to the Almighty. This is the important thing. And this today, of course, the parades, the military parades, and they will only recognize that all it does is it encourages the enemy to go north and south if they're going to make their bases to control this land on the basis of having a strong army. So we have to get a strong army. It's this itself that produces a strong army. And I want to say, this principle has become now the most important principle for the whole world. Why? Because what do the sages say on the face of the prophets? They say that in the end of days, what will happen is that if people Israel will do penitence, they'll be saved. It's called the third of the 6,000 years, which you count from the days mentioned in creation. So the last 2,000 are when you call the days of the Messiah. In all those years, the chance was given to bring the Messianic period. Why? Because it said that this, if Am Israel, the people of Israel, not just individual, they will have a majority of power and inspiration, and they will spread the spirituality of the Torah, then the redemption could have come. But if they go in the opposite direction, most of them, they can't come. But it says in the passage of the prophecy, it says explicitly, there's going to come a time when Hashem will say that they will do teshuva, to come to teshuva. How can they come to teshuva? They come to teshuva if they fulfill also their duties. If they will follow loving kindness, if they will follow being humble, if they will follow the principle of Lilmod Amanat Alameh, they know they're not good enough to make yourself into a saint, to make yourself into great followers of saintliness. You've got to spread it. You have to spread it to others. Not the comes from you, but just the way to become saintly, you've got to expose this to the nations of the world. How do you do it? First of all, by believing in God. If you don't believe in God, you're taking the exit. So you have to bring it back to the belief in God. And through you, if you do something wrong, it's a place of Chilul Hashem. If an Orthodox Jew does not behave properly in any place of the world, it creates a Chilul Hashem, and it can create Nazism. That's everything. But that's why it's in Gehomon. How did Haman become a Haman? He did like a forefather of Hitler, in certain sense. How did he reach that? Because he saw one Jew who did something wrong. That's how it happened. What's the beginning? That happened with Hitler the same. And those people to learn to approach people, be the Jew or Gentile, in a kind manner, to make a chidush Hashem, sanctification of God. That's what all the Gadolim say now as well. So now I must introduce here a very powerful figure in building up the land of Israel to become Haredim. And that was the Rav Abramovich. And I was fortunate enough to become very close to him. I used to, even though when I came to learn as a bochur, I was in Chevron, introduced to Yeshiva, but I used to go to the neighborhood also, spent over Yom Kippur there also, and he was such a great man, and he has inscribed on the, if you have ever been there, on the yeshiva, in gold letters, he said that Hashem said that it says in the prophets, on the mountain of Zion, there will be a remnant, and it will become holy. Do you know how the yeshiva's got that? And also the question is, how can you put that on the, as a component of yeshiva? That was to say the Hatzion. If you can put on Hatzion, the Shul Hatzion is one of the first yeshivot, Hatzion, and you're Rav Goldstein, the head of it very well, who started really, you can say, the first yeshiva for Balei Tshuva. apart from the father of Avishai Shiva, also was one of the main proponents of until today of the Shuva movement all over the world. Without a doubt, you recognize that. And by the way, I must also mention, I heard from the Rebbe himself that if anyone says he is Mashiach, he said that is not true, entirely untrue. I don't want them to come into his faith. I mentioned this in these talks. He's very much against it. And he brought me proofs. And I had some people who suggested from the disinformation about the Rebbe, that I went through the commentary on the Rambam, which the Rabbi Sharev himself wrote, and which it's clear you can't be the Mashiach. Never claim that at all. And as people close in the Kutnik, and it's better also, very much against it. But since many of the Bali Teshuva that he brought came from a Christian background, and then that's sort of the education background that they had from their parents, so they made themselves into Mishkisten, which is very much very dangerous. But it's not the first time they've been forced Mishkisten. It's all times. And they're going back in history. So at the point of the Sharov, the only yeshiva that had a flag on it as well. So these are the two things which really belong together. Because the Ponimit Jaror, and even the Chazan Ish said this as well, the Ponimit Jaror, no one ever accused him of being somebody who believes that whatever happened in Israel is only the beginning of Gula. That is the disciples of Rakuk. Those who follow him, he was in favor and said also in certain ways that whatever, even if we have the secularists who come and build the state of Israel, we have in the government, that they would still represent a certain stage in bringing us nearer to the Mashiach and the Geula and the redemption. And that is the view of the national religious Jews. And we've got to also recognize that's the beginning of the Geula. So Chazon Ish is saying, you can't say definitely it's beautiful, but he said definitely it's the end of the Galut. The Galut, what does it mean? End of the Galut means now there's an opportunity, if we would act in the right manner, to bring them back. But the only way is through Teshuva. So therefore, we've got to make Bali Teshuva. So when I first started the yeshiva, in fact I asked quite a lot of Rabbonim, I was very close to Rabbutna. Rabbutna was a very big Gaon, one of the leaders of Haredi Jews. He's also close to, in part of his life, close to Rabbi Sharevi, but afterwards he left that. And he, in fact, until today, is regarded as one of the great proponents of the Maral of Prague. Maral of Prague was one of the greatest also philosophers of Judaism, and he also had connection with the major astronomers who lived at that time in Prague. He's a great man of great knowledge and understanding. And so when I came to him, he said, Bali Teshuva, he said, how can you call him Bali Teshuva? A Bali Teshuva mentioned by the sages is someone who has sinned and is repenting from his sin, get the Torah. But it's a wrong terminology because we're not on that level. As when I went to where there was a student in our yeshiva when we started it, and he went to the Gera Rebbe and wanted to go to a high standard yeshiva. So the Rebbe asked him why. He said, because I'm no longer about the Shuva. I've accepted Haredi Judaism, and I've been learning in yeshiva Bali Teshuva now for 2 years. So the Rebbe said, well, I'm not about the Shuva, because the Bali Teshuva is going to be high madrega. He's going to make teshuva for all his sins. If you look at the Rambam, that's himself. Don't call him about teshuva. If he's really changed his lifestyle and doesn't sin, he's got to make, perhaps he hasn't made enough chesed to others, or perhaps he even deceived somebody else in something. You're also not about teshuva. But that's why I changed the chuzim b'tshuva. I said to him, but there is a possibility today to build up people to turn back to teshuva, to go in the right direction, you know, in the right manner. And that's what you have to, you've got to go and become Bate Tshuva Pump. So first, a student once came to me and said to me, I'm a Baal Sheila. I'm Baal Sheila. I'm not in Teshuva. I've gone back from Teshuva. I've gone back. I've got big questions against all these things being Baal Teshuva. I'm Baal Sheila. So I said, well, that's the main thing. It's mentioned in the Chumash, right at the beginning. So Hashem says right at the beginning. Who's the first son we've got to deal with in the Chumash? It's the Rosh Hashanah. He's here. He's the one, the Baal Sheila. He's the one who asks questions. So that's the most important thing for us to do. The purpose of the yeshiva is to deal with Baal Teshuva. So I want to end on this point, but so many other things come in. That unfortunately, I was ill for many years. I couldn't deal with things. And now the yeshiva is not anymore about Shuva yeshiva. Can't be. We have a minyan of Haredim, Bnei Torah, we know Torah very well, but they don't have a special 2-hour period to deal with beginners. They want to become big Talmud Chachomim, and also even their prayer is far too. How could you attract a Baal Teshuva if the prayers are said so quickly and they can't cope with it? We have to have a minyan. We have to try to develop a minyan in the yeshiva in due course. We got the idea of the French program. That's why I'm still against Rav Shach Paskin for me. The yeshiva, we've got a big bit of land, quite a big bit of land in the yeshiva. It's been taken over now by different people. I don't know, different people, also different yeshiva. Even in our own little way where we are now, that is the yeshiva. Before then as well, it's going quite well. We had groups in English, in French, in Spanish, because we did also with all types of language, all pan, to all learn Ivrit. All of them to learn Ivrit, also the English ones had to learn Ivrit, because say you don't know Ivrit, you can't understand the moral properly, you can't assume the moral properly. So then we've got to learn Ivrit as well. I made it part of the also, if you don't know Ivrit, you don't know the language of the Bible, how are we able to have the inspiration even to go through life? So therefore Ulpan is basic, very important. That's what we have to develop a different minyan properly, and that's the only way the yeshiva will continue. Not give over. That's why I'm so insistent. Don't give over buildings in the yeshiva to all other types of yeshivas, not to yeshiva for people, for children who need special education. Don't bring it over to French advanced yeshiva. Don't bring it because we go for beginners more, so we have to work on the beginners. They're taken over by the Sochlut, and they go and learn there in the Gnostic places. The people who teach them in the other places, they teach them a certain subject, they teach them Ivrit, but the only religious Ulpan in is our Ulpan. So the Ulpan has to be developed, the religious Ulpan, and that's the way we can rebuild the yeshiva. So those who are present here, I'm saying this to you now also, so you can hear me, and we have to work together, also those that are from England, of other countries that should help to restore what was really the dream of the yeshiva, the dream of Rav Kamel and Rav Olva and all the others who the founders of the yeshiva, even of Rabbi Yezer Wolfson, who helped us so much. So we will strive to get together whatever we can, together with help of my children, none even more so in the field work, to make sure we should do our part as a yeshiva to make it livable and also good. We've got to make sure also that the building where the students pray, where the students live, should be on a better level, so we can do our part in increasing the great movement of the Tshuva movement. And it says, "Ei Am Yisrael Yidaleh Eretz Tshuva Yitz Hashem." We had it all our paper at one time. Ki Mizio Seitzei Torah Odevar Adonai Yerushalayim. So let us hope that this will become fulfilled in our time. We do our part in bringing nearer Yemot HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.